Why don't you stretch out your hands and we just bless this friend of mine. Lord, we pray for Drew. We pray for strength, your strength over him. Bless him as he shares from his heart and as he's excited to be in your house today. Thank you for this friend. Thank you for a man who's after your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Am I muted? No. You can hear me. So you know it's going to be a Sunday when you see the guy who's preaching crying up at the front and breaking down and falling apart. Nicole talks to me before this. She goes up to lead worship and she says, Drew, you need to have a lightness. You need to know that God has set you free. And I'm going up thinking, I'm going to tell these people that they're going to be set free. What do I need to... Why are these people telling me? I'm the guy right now, and I'm supposed to be the guy. And she was right, and I just really believe that God, in this time this morning, in this place, that he wants to deliver hearts, that he is knocking on your hearts this morning, saying, I want to deliver you. I want to set you free. There's nothing in this world that you can look to that will set you free, that will please you, that will give you meaning or freedom. It's me. And that it's the love of God that is calling you this morning to be free. And I really want to speak today about a stubbornness that I know is in my heart. A rebellion that I know exists in my heart and that I see in the world around me. And it's a desire to embrace the world, to embrace sin. It is an unwillingness to hear the word of God spoken to us, to me. We live in a world that does not want to hear the voice of God, the word of God, calling us from sin, calling us into his presence, into the life that he's calling us to. I know that often I don't want to hear that word and it's hard. And this stubbornness is an unwillingness to turn our hearts to God. It's a desire to look to the world instead of God. And this word that we're going to read, it's in Isaiah chapter 30. It was written as a witness. Isaiah says it was written as a witness. And why it was written? It was written so that God can say in the time when he is going to call each one of us in this room to account. He's going to call us each one here to account. He's going to call me to account. And this word was written so that he can say, I offered you life, but you chose destruction. I offered you freedom, but you chose slavery. I called you out of sin into my love, into my life, and you wouldn't listen to me. And this word will be a witness against us in the time when God calls us to account if we are not willing to turn to God. And so what I'm asking you today, what I'm pleading with you for is that you would turn to God today. And I'm pleading with myself, reminding myself to return to God. And God wants to be gracious with us today. And God wants to pour out his love on us today. So the idea that I want us to talk about today is that God is compassionate when we turn our hearts to him, when we fix our gaze on him, and when we lay aside everything else. And we're going to talk about Israel. And we're talking about Israel in a time when there was, in their history, when there was no desire to hear from God. They were mired in sin, trapped in sin. They were looking to the world for rescue and didn't comprehend that their only rescue, their only freedom would come if they turned to God. But God is calling to them, saying, come, walk with me. I know that life can get dark. that difficult things come to us. And I know in my life that it can be really difficult sometimes to want to turn to God. But I also know that I've suffered more in my life because there's been an unwillingness in my heart to turn to God. There was an unwillingness to trust God. And I wanted to go my own way. And I suffered more because of it. And when our eyes are fixed on our struggles, our suffering, our difficulty, I feel like God is speaking to us this morning saying, I am waiting for you to wait for me. I am waiting for you to wait for me. So God is gracious to us when we set our eyes on Him. And we have two options. We can embrace God and the life that He's calling to. We can walk with Him. We can know Him. Or we can go our own way. And God is calling you to respond today. And everyone here will make a decision. Everyone here will make a decision. Either they will be glad because they found rest in God, or they will go their own way. And no decision is a decision. So we're reading from Isaiah 30. And this is a time when Israel is being called by God. He is saying, leave your sin behind, because they are persisting in sin. And they are being rebellious. And He is saying to them, your destruction is coming if you will not turn from sin. They are corrupted. They are taking advantage of the widow and the orphan. They are living in sexual immorality. They are serving other gods. They are rejecting God. This is a hard word. And He says this earlier in the chapter. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, who make an alliance but not of my spirit in order to add sin to sin. So they are aligning themselves with the world, but they are not walking with God. And in many ways, God is calling them. He's calling them to walk with Him. He's calling them to trust Him, to be faithful to Him. And in many ways, this is what the whole Bible is about. This is what the whole Word of God is about. God calling us out of death, out of sin, to walk faithfully with Him. Amen. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 10. Now listen, Israel. What does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him? What does God ask from us but to love Him? To know Him? And we choose sin, things that enslave us. To serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. To love Him. And the gift that God offers to every single one here, and I'm looking at specific people, is that I do that every time. I literally do that every single time. The invitation today is that God wants you to love Him. Like a child who looks up at their dad or their mom, like Phoebe looks up at me, and she just wants to be with me, and she trusts me. So Israel was faced with a great enemy. Because they were walking in sin, God is saying, I'm bringing destruction to you because you won't turn to me. And all you have to do is turn to me and I will rescue you. And so Israel is faced with the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrian Empire is the foremost military power in that region at the time. And Israel does not have the might to face them. This is around 700 years before Jesus walked the earth. This is historical. It's a true story. And they've made alliances with Egypt. They're persisting in sin, and they're saying, we'll go to Egypt for help, not God. Egypt, the ones that had us in slavery, God had to deliver us from them, but now we're going to run back to them, and they're the ones who are going to help us in the face of this threat that lies on our doorstep. The problem is that the threat isn't Assyria. The threat is their sin. The threat is their unwillingness to turn to God, to reject their sin. and they don't understand that. And what I would say to you today is, do you understand that? There are all sorts of things in this world that come against us, every kind of suffering that we face, difficulty, and that's not the threat. The threat is my sin and the destruction and the suffering and the chaos that it can bring to my life, to the lives of others, and the separation that it drives between me and God. Can we see that? Can you hear God speaking to you this morning? I'm asking you. But God wants to be gracious to them, and He would save them. So we're going to look at two ideas in Isaiah chapter 30 that help us to know that God is gracious to us when we set our hearts on Him. So we're going to read from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 16 and 17. If you have your Bible, turn there. Verse 16 and 17 is where we're going to start. And you said, "No, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee. We will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you will be swifter. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one man. You will flee at the threat of five until you are left as a flag on a mountaintop and as a signal on a hill." So Israel is faced with this immense threat. Assyria is on their doorstep. And they say, "We're going to run away on horses. This is how we're going to escape. We're going to run away on horses." And I can kind of relate to that. I mean, if Vladimir Putin was sitting on the outskirts of Edmonton, start the car, pack the bags, let's head down to Calgary. We just needed another good reason to leave Edmonton. No, it's a beautiful city. Very beige. If you like beige, it's a beautiful city. It's another good reason to leave the city, but they're going to run away on horses. They're going to run away on horses. And again, the threat isn't Assyria. And God would rescue them if they would just turn their hearts to Him. They are running from Assyria, but they are not running from their sin. And Assyria is the consequence of their sin. And I know that in my life, I am very quick to run from the consequences of my sin, but not sin. And I will embrace sin and live in sin, things that make me feel good, lack of self-control, lack of patience with Bethany and Phoebe. But when the consequences of sin are on my doorstep, I'm running. Not realizing that the consequences came because I wasn't turning from my sin. And the unfortunate thing is that when the consequences of sin are on our doorstep, it's too late already. And I am speaking to you honestly when I say that there is a time coming when it will be too late. And if we haven't received Christ and the redemption of Christ, there is a time coming when the offer of grace won't be there anymore. And the time is short, and we don't know when that time is going to come. And so I'm asking you to turn to God now. Good. The Assyrian Empire, the consequence of Israel's sin, led them into exile, destroyed them to the point where there was only a few of them left. And it was a direct result of their sin and their unwillingness to turn to God. They were destroyed. They were left isolated and alone. And they were led to a place that they didn't want to go. And I am telling you, if you persist in sin, if Drew persists in sin and is unwilling to turn to God, we will be destroyed. We will be left alone, and we will be led down a road that we don't want to go. And God is gracious, and He'll help us. And sin is the single most threat to our lives, to our families, to our homes, and it will destroy and kill and wreak every kind of havoc. Israel runs to Egypt when the threat comes, not to God. And who is it that we run to? Galatians 4:9, it says, before you knew Christ, you were slave to the things of this world. The wisdom of this world, which is not wisdom, it's lies. The pleasures of this world, which lead to destruction. And we were slaves to those things. And for us who know God and walk with God, Galatians says so often we return to those things that once held us as slaves. So what are we running to? The world tells us to do what's right in our own eyes. Do we trust that wisdom? We seek pleasure, intelligence, reputation, ambition, power, money, security. How many families have been destroyed because somebody just did what was right in their own eyes? How many people have suffered abuse and betrayal, loneliness, anxiety, depression, because they or someone else they knew just did what was right in their own eyes? And the world tells us to reject God, the only one who could help us and save us. And they tell us, no, you're God. And they say, you're free when you do whatever the heck you want. And inevitably, when we embrace the world, the wisdom of this world, and we go on our own way, we compromise on what is right and we betray God. And that's what it is. So if you are being seduced by the worldview of this world, it says, I just do what I want. I'm my own boss. I'm the big man on the block. I do what I want. You are on a dangerous road. And it is a betrayal of God. So this is what it says in Isaiah 30. We're going to go to 8 to 12. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Why can't you just say some nice things to me? Drew, you're doing great. You're a great guy, Drew. Speak to us in pleasant words. Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Stop talking to us about the Holy One of Israel. Stop talking to me about God. Stop telling me how to live. Sin is nothing. I do what I want. You can't judge me that way. I do not want to hear you talk about God. I tell you honestly that you listening to God is the only thing that will set you free. You hearing the word of God calling you out of sin is the only thing that will set you free. When you hear the love of God that would convict you of the things that would lead you to destruction, that is the only thing that will set you free. Yeah. Embrace it. Yeah. When God calls you out of sin, it is a mercy. Yeah. When God calls me out of pornography, it is salvation. Yeah. For my family, for my future. When God calls me out of stubbornness, impatience, arrogance, it is my salvation. And when he says, come and walk with me, that's life. That's freedom. They wanted to hear what would make them feel good. All you have to do is just be positive. Just put a positive spin on it. I'm a broken sinner, but that's just me. Yeah, leave it behind. When I look to the world for help, for pleasure, for satisfaction, I am rejecting God. And I am rejecting the one who loves me, who died for me, and who would set me free. It says that they will be left like a flag on top of a mountaintop. They will be pursued by their sin, unable to run from their sin. Their sin will be too quick for them. It will catch up to them until they were alone on top of a mountain, surrounded by the consequences of their sin that will bring destruction. That's the picture, a flag on top of a mountain. They're exposed, and there is nothing left to protect them, surrounded on every side. And that's what sin does. We just give in a little bit. We compromise a little bit. We say, it just feels good. Nobody knows about it. Nobody knows about it. Till all of a sudden, our family starts to break down. Till all of a sudden, we start to push away the people in our lives who matter to us. Till all of a sudden, the consequences of our sin are on our doorstep, and we're left like a flag on top of a mountain, alone and exposed. But God would rescue us. And this is the difficult truth, is that there is a destruction coming that is much worse than what Assyria did to Israel. And we do no favors to anyone by avoiding the message of hell. That the just penalty for my sin is that God would pour out his wrath on me because of the immense damage it's caused to the people in my life, because of the immense turmoil and suffering that my sin has caused in the world. And if I don't see the consequences of my sin, it's because I'm blind to it. And God will rescue us if we just turn our hearts to him. So we need to understand, first of all, first idea is that there is destruction that will come to every person who trusts in this world and who does not turn to God. So are we willing to hear from God when he calls us out? Are we willing to run from our sin, or are we just going to run when the consequences come to us? The second point is this, that rescue and blessing comes when we look to God, when we walk with him, when we know him. This is what it says in Isaiah 30, verse 15. Thus says the Lord of Israel, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you are not willing. In repentance and rest, in quietness and trust. So while the world gears up for war, gets the tanks ready, loads their guns, ready for a fight, because Assyria is on the doorstep, God is saying, just be quiet. Trust me. I'm with you. That's where we find our life and our salvation. That's where we find strength in our life when we're struggling, when we're going through battles. It's in quietness and rest. Repentance literally means turning. It's a 180. So what are we turning to? We're turning to God, and we're turning away from our sin. And so when you say, Lord, forgive me, I'm turning, I want what you have for me. When you're saying, forgive me for my sin, you need to have it in your heart that it's not just saying, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. You are saying in your heart when you repent, God, I am turning from my sin, and I want my heart to be fixed on you. I want every aspect of my life to be fixed on you. In my family, in my work, when I'm alone, when nobody sees me, I want my heart to be fixed on you. I want nothing to come between me and you. I want nothing more than to walk with you, to know you, to be free in your presence. And I'm turning to you, and I want to know you. It's not enough to just say the right things. I trust God. It's not enough to just show up here on a Sunday morning. It is a realignment of our lives to say, Lord, you are the center. And I don't know why we're unwilling sometimes to do that, because he's saving us from... All he asks us to give up is sin, death, suffering, embarrassment, shame because of our sin. And we're like, no, I think I'll hold on to that a little longer. And he offers us freedom and life. And we just have to turn to him, and he'll show us the way. Isn't enough just to live a moral life, just to, I'm a good person. I'm good. You're not. I'm not. Why is God not gracious to those who don't turn to him? Why is compassion not given to those who don't turn to God? Well, that's sort of true, and it's sort of not true. The truth is that we can't turn to God unless he's been gracious to us. But if we refuse to turn to God, we are saying, I'm really not sinful. I'm really not that bad. My sin really isn't that serious. All of the difficulty that I've caused other people, all of the times I've hurt other people, all of the times I've rejected, gone and done my own thing, that's not really a big deal. And we say, God, you really didn't need to send Jesus to die on the cross for me. You kind of wasted your time on that one, because I'm good enough on my own. And that's an affront to God. And all God asks us is to say, Lord, I need you. I know I'm broken. Yeah. Can anyone of us here deny that we struggle? Yeah. We do things we know aren't right. We regret hurting people. We regret doing things we shouldn't have done. All God asks is for us to say, Lord, I need you. Please forgive me, and I want to walk with you. And he'll save us. So, when we embrace Jesus, we embrace the fact that he paid the price for our sins. That I should have been the one dangling on the cross with nails in my hands. That I should have been the one with the crown of thorns pressed on my head, with the thorns digging into my forehead. That the spear should have been put into my side because of my sin. And we embrace the fact that Jesus loved us enough to come and do that for us. I gotta stop. And it is a childlike posture of faith, just saying, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I want to be with you. I want to embrace the life that you have for me, and I know you'll look after me. And I think about how Phoebe looks up at me. Sometimes she'll be laying down, and I'll come down to her level, and I'll look down at her, and she'll be smiling at me. And I just felt like God was speaking to me yesterday, saying, that's what I want from you. She's worried about tornadoes and COVID-19 and flash floods and whatever else the world can send her way. She literally just sees me. She knows I'll take care of her, and she smiles at me. And in all the things that we face, can you imagine if we weren't worried about the challenges we're facing, if we weren't worried about all of these things, and if we could just look up at God, at our Heavenly Father, who's smiling on us, and just say, I know you'll look after me. I know you'll take care of me. And the challenge is that my heart is hard so often. And my prayer for us is that we would have soft hearts, that God would soften us. Go to verse 18 of chapter 30. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. And therefore, he waits on high to be compassionate with you. How blessed are those who long after him. I love that. How blessed is Drew when he longs after God, when he's hungry for God. How blessed is Drew when he recognizes how desperately he needs God and just says, God, I need you. And what a blessing, because God meets with us and says, I will take care of you. I will show you the way. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. He's going to answer you. Just call out to him. In your heart, call out to him and he will answer you. Although the Lord has given you the bread of privation and the water of oppression, even though he might have led you into a time of suffering, is what he's saying. He, your teacher, will no longer hide himself from you. Your ears will hear a word behind you whenever you turn to the right or the left, saying, this is the way. Walk in it. And you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver and your molten images plated with gold. You will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. So God knows our weakness. Hebrews 4 says we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weakness. Jesus came and he died on the cross, but before that he lived as a man on earth, fully God, fully man, and he experienced the full breadth of human suffering while he was on earth. And so when we say God knows our struggles, we serve a God who knows our struggles. And what Hebrews 4 says is we can draw confidently before the throne of grace in our time of need to receive help. Because he knows. He isn't shocked when we stumble in sin. He isn't shocked when we are discouraged or we lose hope. All of these things are so natural for us as people. That's our default. Our default is sin. Our default is struggle. Our default is fear and doubt. And so he knows that, and he calls us to trust him. If we would just receive what he offers us, we need to turn our hearts to him. Why did Jesus endure the cross? Why did Jesus endure that immense amount of suffering? It's because he longed to be gracious to us. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. And Jesus died so that that would be available to us. And he wanted to save us. And he wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. And don't let your circumstances or all the things that you have to deal with in this life let you forget that. And if you have doubts about that, don't doubt it. Press into God. What does he ask of us? That we would love him, trust him, obey him, and find the life that he is offering to us. How blessed is the one who longs after God. You will know blessing if in your heart you know what it means to feel, I am hungry for more of God. You will experience blessing. He hears us when we call and he will answer us. One of my favorite pictures in this is that he will be our teacher. And that's a hard thing to understand if you haven't experienced it. And if you haven't experienced it, I would tell you, ask for it. God, I want you to be my teacher. I don't want to just learn from people or books or theories that I hear or theologies that I hear or, you know, systematic textbooks that I read. I want to learn from you. And that is only something that can happen when we turn our hearts to him, when we seek to hear his voice. And I loved what PJ said. It's just about being with God, in tune with Him, listening to the voice of the Spirit. This happens when we walk with Him, and that happens through prayer, reading His Word, knowing His Word, disciplining ourselves in those things. That's not always easy. What does He teach us? What does it say He teaches us to do? And you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver, and your molten images plated with gold. You will scatter them as an impure thing and say, "Be gone." He teaches us how to kill sin in our life. He teaches us how to kill the flesh in our life, the old nature that wants sin, that wants darkness, that wants only what's best for me. And He teaches us how to let that thing die. He teaches us how to say, "Idols, sin, get out of my life. Get out of my life. I want to let all of this go because I want to be free." And in the midst of that, He helps us. What does it say? He says, anytime you turn to the left or the right, if you make a mistake, you lose focus, you turn this way or that way, you'll hear His voice calling behind you. You'll hear the voice of His Spirit calling behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." And you turn again. You repent and you turn your heart and you say, "This is the way. I'm going to walk in it." How blessed is Drew when he longs and hungers for God. So are we willing? I want to call the band up to, and we can take some time to respond. Are we willing to turn to Him today? Are we going to allow ourselves to forget this word? Are we going to allow the distractions of this life keep us from walking closely with God and turning our hearts to Him? God is calling us to a real dynamic relationship with Him. And God is asking you and me, will you walk with me? Will you draw close to me? All of these things that you're struggling with, I see your sin. There's nothing hidden from me. I want to help you. Why would you turn from me? And the desire of my heart for me and my prayer for you is that you would begin to know the blessing of just walking closely with Him. And you have to do it. It's not enough to just think about it. You have to do it. You can't do it if you're not willing to talk to God. You can't do it if you're not willing to learn who He is through His Word. Say, "God, I want to be with You. I want to walk with You." Are you and I going to walk with God? Are we going to turn our hearts to Him? Or are we going to settle? Because I know the temptation in my life, through the different things I go through, the temptation is to settle for less. Just to be content with apathy. To just not even think. I'm just go about my business. And God is calling us to walk with Him. And I want to read Deuteronomy 10:12 again. "What does the Lord require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him?" Just love Him. He will be compassionate. He wants us to be free from sin, rescued from our sin, and He wants us to find real life in Him. When Jesus died on the cross, every bit of God's wrath that should have come against me for my sin fell on Him. And every bit of suffering that He incurred for me, And he took it on himself so that I could be free. And he did it for you. And he said, man, Timmy's worth it. I'll do this for Timmy. I'll do this for Isaiah. For PJ and for Helmet. I'll do this so that they can be free. And my desire today is that we would hear God speaking to us. This is the way. Come and walk in it. And I want to ask you guys, everyone here who's walked with God, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Think about where you were and think about where God has brought you today. And I get scared thinking about where I would have been had God not taken me in his arms and rescued me. And I know that he wants to deliver people here today and set people free, help people. Maybe you don't have anything major going on in your life, but you're just reminded. Maybe you've been just going about the motions, a little apathetic, not thinking about it, and you're just reminded, I need to turn my heart to God. Maybe you need help overcoming sin, and like, I know I need help overcoming sin. It's not an embarrassing thing. That's us. We all need help overcoming sin. In quietness and trust, our rescue's gonna come. In repentance, when we turn to God, our rescue will come. Maybe you just need to be reminded that it is a gift to walk closely with God and to seek after him in your life. And I have an option today, and this word will be a witness. I can go my own way, or I can turn and walk with God. And all of us here will make that decision. And so I'm asking you to respond. I'm asking you to come and meet with God here at the altar today. And I know it can be nerve-wracking to come forward, but if God, you feel God is speaking to you, saying, come and meet with me. I want to speak to you. I want to take hold of your life, and I want to give you the life that you never knew you could have. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let anything stop you. We have a prayer team, and they'll be here to pray with you, to talk with you, to encourage you, and we want to pray with you this morning. This is your chance to respond. So come and meet with God.